Welcome to Say It's Lit, the one and only podcast embracing queer narratives, where every topic is fair game. Get ready for some serious sass and juicy insights into everything queer. I'm your unfiltered host, Matticus, and I'm about to plunge into the unheard stories of the vibrant queer and ally communities. So hold on tight, because we're not just breaking the silence, we're obliterating it. Ready, set, slay.
What's that? What's that old lady that's on like on TV? Or she
talks Jackson Sue Johansson?
Yes, that's who I want to be.
I really like. I've thought about doing a podcast sort of in that vein of that, of like sort of frank sexual talk, like in her, because she would just talk about anything.
She's so funny. She's like with a dildo. She's like, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is how you get in it. And I love that.
I love that, because it was like the reason why I think she was so great is because she makes it like, if the grandma can do it, like it's cool for me to do it, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that's sort of what I love about my drag. I do drag because like, I want to be the craziest person in the room, so you're not afraid to be who you are, you know? Cause that way you're not, you know, like, don't worry about you, cause look at this crazy bitch.
Yeah. Over,
you know?
Of course, we're going to say that's the reason.
That's the reason.
That's the reason.
Not for the dick and the money.
I do drag for you. Yeah. That's
right. Because I'm a martyr. I'm a martyr. Yeah. When I
my
fall,
reward's you.
Yeah, I'm like Jesus. When I fall and die,
okay,
I rise above.
I love it. Well, before we jump into all these questions, I'm really curious to, like, you know, obviously I know who you are. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you're working towards?
Yeah, my name is Cupcake. I'm an Austin, like, performer drag queen.
I've been
doing it for, like, 13 years here.
Mm-hmm.
It's been my only job for, like, 7, which is crazy. Austin, like, supports a lot of, like, local artists, whether it be drag or any other sort of expression. And I'm, my whole vibe is, like, I have a theater degree. So I want to sort of come at drag with, like, not knowing any of the rules and, like, breaking them, and also with, like, a theatrical sort of background to back it up and sort of, like, be that different girl. Yeah, I like to tell stories. I like to tell stories and not just always be a pretty girl.
You definitely tell some stories with the shows that you put on. They're quite
I think that's important. And, like, I don't know. I don't mean to be that girl, but that's just, like, I didn't know the rules. I didn't grow up in, like, drag culture.
Yeah.
So when I started doing it, I was like, oh, I'm going to do it like this. And they're like, you don't do it like that. And I'm like, I do.
Yeah. I thought drag was, like, all about, like, overdoing it, over-accentuating.
Right. I mean, when I thought about drag, I was like, I thought about sort of pageanty types of drag that I've seen. And then I was like, but what if, like, I can go on stage, like, I can do something different, I guess. Like, why not? It's a stage. And so I did. And the audience really loved it. The other people I worked with did not really love it in the beginning. It's just,
well, I wouldn't want to go behind you.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a tough act to follow sometimes. No, that's ridiculous. I think that it was intimidating people just because it was different.
I mean, we do have some queens that, like, don't learn the lines, and they're, like, definitely just walking around collecting dollars, like the giraffe at the zoo, like,
right.
Dollar.
Like, if you, not knowing the words to me is one of those things. It's like, you chose the song.
Yeah.
You could do any song in the world. You chose a song. Why don't you know the fucking words? That's like, when people are like, oh, I knew all the words, I'm like, wow, you did the first part of your job. Like, cool, the first
good
part of your job.
Is there a reason that people, like, in the drag community don't choose, like, more current songs?
I think there's a lot of things for that. Current songs are going to be harder to memorize quickly. Also, current songs are hard to, current to who? Because music is so accessible now, like, it's hard to say, like, used to be like, oh, the song's on the radio, but, like, who listens to the radio? Like, nobody really listens to radio. And then, like, it's like all these different venues, and it's awesome that there's so many artists that are accessible, but, like, at the same time, it's hard to, like, hone in on this. There's not gonna be any more, like, big superstars, you know?
I don't know. I guess I see a lot of drag queens, like, they pick, like, really classic music, and they're like, I'm like, hey, why did you choose that? Because I'm like, I'm close with these drag queens, by the way.
Right.
It's
a good question. Like, why do you choose the things
you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I like them a lot. I was like, but it makes it really hard for your audience to connect.
Right. And that's a huge thing I'm about connecting with audience. And so I agree. Like, standing up and doing some Whitney Houston song, like, in a beautiful gown, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But, like, no one, like, knows that person. No one is that person. That's not a real person. But, like, me going on stage and being like, I'm going to be this, like, Alanis Morissette, like, crazy girl. Like, people connect with that more. It's, like, it's more real.
We have that, like, American Horror Story, like, the last one that I can remember. A little latex suit.
Yeah. Yeah,
you definitely overdo it, and it's very well sold. I appreciate it. That's awesome. So tell me, what's the oddest or most bizarre fan encounter that you've ever had?
The oddest, most bizarre fan encounter.
Gotta pick one.
I've had a lot. I don't know. I get people that want to, people steal my tits a lot. Like, when they come up, like,
steal them?
They steal them. Like, if a fan, are we talking about fans or people that come over to my house?
What? Wait, people take them from your house?
Yes, dude. And I know, you're kidding. They really do.
Those breastplates are expensive.
I know. And, like, I'll just, they'll be gone. I'll be,
Took my Do you think they took you home just for that point? Like, if you met them before?
I think that had happened once or twice. Yeah, they were like, oh, I know, you get those titties. And they did. And it fucking sucks, dude. It's like expensive. And then you're like, I put them somewhere. No, like, put that. And like, there's, I know. And how can you miss a bale pair of tits in your house? And then you realize, no, someone is the only person that was here was that dude. And he took
you. Who's the world would do that?
He's either wearing them or coming on them. So I don't know.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, that's not good for you, but that's like so crazy.
Right.
Like, that's not anything what I expected at all. Like, so tell us, Cupcake, what are your thoughts on drag queen rivalries and drama? Like, we know there's a lot in Austin and
Providence. Okay, drag queen rivalries and drama. I think one of the main, like, one of the foundations of drag.
Give us names.
Is reading. I think it's reading. Like,
really?
Oh, absolutely. I think, and that's something that's starting to be by the newer generation, they're starting to not like reading because they're sensitive, and Gen Z is just like one of those.
Cancel culture.
They want to be coddled. They anything offensive is canceled. Mm-hmm. Where drag, like reading, is like literally made to be like offensive and meant to be calling you out. And it's not a mean, what it is it's not mean-spirited. It is like bonding in the sort of way of like, I see your faults, you see my faults, like, let's talk about them. And you realize that they are physical, basic fucking things that don't really mean shit.
Right.
So you can talk shit about them because who cares? Like, I know who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so these little physical things that I'm going to quip at or whatever, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just fucking funny because look at your fucking busted ass, you know? Like, it's funny. And so a lot of people...
You've
like,
seen what I'm seeing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. Like, are we all seeing what we're seeing here?
Like that tugs, like, kind of maybe.
No, right? And it's funny because we all see it. And so it's like, you've got to talk about it. And glossing over it makes it like, ugh, it just is ridiculous. And it's actually not doing anyone a favor. It's like, people say, oh, I'm trying to like make them like feel, I don't want to make them feel bad. It's like, well, you know what? But
yeah.
But like, they look at themselves and they're going to feel bad. Like, mm-hmm. a real friend would like go be like, hey, your shit don't look right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to be that person that lets somebody like walk around with something in their teeth.
Exactly.
Day,
right? Like, that's fucked up. Yeah. You're not being a real friend. Those people are always like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. It's
figure
like,
it out.
No. It's like, no. You're not being a real friend.
Yeah. It might hurt, but it's like, it's what's
exactly.
up.
Avoid confrontation. Just because you have a confrontation with someone doesn't mean that you hate them.
Yeah.
And like, it doesn't mean that like, the confrontation is a good thing because you have some, like a possibility to grow. And
yeah,
learn,
absolutely. Yeah. I think it's very similar. Like, just say like someone did have something in their teeth, and you said something to them, they're gonna hold that aggression towards you. Maybe they're like, "Why did no one tell me?"
Then right,
and it has nothing to do with you. You know,
nothing.
You just can't take it like that. But no, that's what all like say it's late, and this whole like podcast is about is like starting those conversations to get people comfortable talking about things, because like people don't want to talk about things that need to be talked about. They're like, I'm gonna cancel you, I'm gonna put you out.
Right. So there's that fear I think now of people like not wanting to talk about things because
mm-hmm.
But fuck cancel culture. I mean, I think that you can only be harmed by things that you have power to.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, fuck her right in the pussy. Cancel culture. that we're not the actual girl. Them. Pussy.
Is cancel culture a drag queen name?
Maybe.
Oh my god,
that would be a really good drag queen
stage honestly. Cancel culture.
You could run that like what is it like Ashley O and Miley Cyrus?
Oh my god, side will be cancel culture.
That would be so cool.
Oh my god, okay. You would be problematic is what it would be.
So we're on the topic. So what's if you can give one piece of advice to an inspired drag queen, what would it be?
Oh my god,
Don't do it.
You will. No. My advice to all of them is like, okay, I have three pieces of advice. Just don't stop doing it. Just don't. If you want to keep doing it, just don't stop.
Consistency.
Yeah. If you're not sweating when you come off stage, like you didn't work, so mm-hmm. clock the fuck in. And number three is do not wear sweetheart tops.
What are the sweetheart tops?
Like sweetheart tops are like the tops of like dresses or like shirts that they don't have like a strap here. They just go like thing here. And like go down, like of course it's sort of like bustier top because they will always slip and show your nipple. Always, like do not even look at them in the store. Don't consider a sweetheart top because I've never ever seen it ever work on stage ever. And people always want to do it, and your nipple always pops out. Again, don't do it, girl. No sweetheart tops.
Some people would say that you guys are the reason why we had to deal with that law.
I mean, yes, like yeah. I mean, whenever that whole
drag band
was on the topic of conversation. I was not really involved in it very much because I definitely, if people looked at me, they'd probably be like, oh yeah, and this one is the reason why we don't want children around yet.
Well, you're having fun. I mean, like, you're not necessarily in, like, a child area.
No, my life is rated R, and that's okay. Like, there are no children in my world. Uh-huh. Like, my life, my performances are rated R, and I don't, like, force them upon people. I would never do that. I don't want kids anywhere around the shows, like, ugh. But yeah, it's like I'm not involved in the conversation of like drag queen story hour or anything, because I mean, I don't think I would do drag queen story hour. I did like a late night thing in the library once, but it was for adults. So.
You got to learn how to read first, baby.
Oh, true. Oh my God. No, I actually, I love to read.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, I defriended a person because they never read a book.
Really?
I swear to God, one with this dude, we were friends for like a year, and like, it came about in our conversation. He was like, yeah, I've never really like read a whole book. And I was like,
that's it.
I was like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, I mean, it's sort of like Cliff Notes and stuff, but I've never like sat down and read a book. And I was like, we're not going to be friends anymore. Like, that's weird.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done. It's like, you don't have to read all the time, but like, read a fucking book. Want to like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Should have bought him a book.
I did think about it, but then I was like, you know what?
It's not worth the investment.
It's not.
I'm not here to teach. I'm not here to teach.
You know, I'm only here to preach.
That was quick. You're quick. Okay. The pops, that reminds me of like being on the school bus.
Oh, yeah.
I can never do it.
I don't know when I started to be able to, because I really can't do a lot of things with my tongue.
You must be a bottom.
I'm not. I had a speech impediment as a child. I did.
Same thing.
Honestly, same thing. You're right.
Oh, God.
I was a bottom when I was a child.
That's not a problem. Okay, we can't go into that. I'm sorry that you had that traumatic experience.
I was the assailant. I was the aggressor. I was the aggressor for sure. Oh my gosh, I was a horny kid.
Okay. You're going to be canceled. Like,
I know. Welcome to stage cancel culture.
Okay. Okay, all right. How do you balance the fine line between empowering self-expression and potentially reinforcing stereotypes in drag?
That's not something I like think about very much, just because I feel like if I like concern myself with that too much, I become too like analytical and like like my essence of drag sort of disappears. But there are times where you have to stop and think like, am I doing this because it's like easy and want to like fit in and I can just sort of like glide by it? Or am I doing this like, does it have anything to back it up with? And a lot of times when you do something regularly like drag, it's really easy to fall into a stereotype.
Yeah.
And like really easy to like sort of start in like enforcing them, or like, you know. And so I think that you've just got to really, really like be mindful of like your position in the community, right? And just know that like, what you put on stage, people are going to see. And so don't maybe like reinforce stereotypes that are like not wanted or real, or just like too, like, you've got to like really be a three-dimensional person.
Do you feel like that's your job though?
I don't feel like it's my job, but I feel like it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Like if I'm on stage, I'm putting myself out there. I'm thus sort of like not a beacon for anyone, or like not a representative of anyone, but I am on stage and people watch me. And so like, I think what I do on stage sparks conversations, at least a little bit, you know? And so I think it is my responsibility to make it interesting conversations and make it like not just like, I don't want to like feed into someone's status quo and like their like sterility, you know? I want to like shake it up.
Yeah. I don't think you'd give a fuck, honestly.
I mean, also being that, putting that weight on your shoulders is kind of like not really my responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's what I said. I don't think about it a lot, but if I did, that's what I would think.
Every time I walk into the club and see you, I'm like, I don't care.
I mean, yeah, I don't care.
Okay, so you've met countless people on your journey, I'm going to assume. You know, you seem pretty...
Excuse me?
I would assume so. Uh-huh. Who's been the most influential or inspirational person you've encountered in the LGBTQ+ community?
Ooh.
Yeah, no straights.
No straights. No allies, no straights.
Not for this one.
So there are two queens in Portland. Mm-hmm. Their names are Carla Rossi and Pepper Pepper. And I met them at the very first like beginnings of drag. And they, like, in Portland, Portland's like Austin, but advanced like, I don't know, 10, 20 years in a certain direction, you know, in certain very, very like...
It rains more.
It does rain more, but it's like, it's just what could happen if Austin keeps this route of like sort of like super liberal, super like...
Yeah.
About the arts, which is all good stuff. They do stuff in like museums. Like their drag is in museums.
Really?
And yeah, they do like performances in museums, commission them and stuff. And seeing that as a possibility, and like Carla Rossi writes plays that like are being produced, and just seeing someone like that taking it out of like the bar scene and elevating it to the art that I think that it is, and now it's finally being respected to, was this someone I looked at and was like, wow, okay, like this is more than just bar shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I always think about them because like they, I met them at the International Drag Festival. It was just like, okay.
That's really
like,
cool.
You can grow up out of this like bar scene.
You know, I'm still in the bar.
I am still in the bar, but yeah, but their aspirations go further. I mean, I just like, I think that bars are, okay, so this is what I think. I think that bars are like our like tribal, like sort of community, like grounds, right? Where we like every community, like meeting spot. And then like, there's always been like the oracles or like the witch doctors that like, they intersect, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's the role that drag queens play in the community. Is sort of this intersects like, sort of, like
witch doctor.
Yeah, I think we are. I think we're like reflections of the community.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. That sounds so cool. I would love to go to a drag show, like in a museum or something like that.
Yeah,
I think totally. Like curated. Congress, that really nice one.
Yeah, it's like Congress, the Blanton.
One that has like the really cute lights that like, that's like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The like the Jones. You know,
yeah.
No, I think it'd be so cool. And like it is, the art of it is getting legitimized more. I'm thinking about going to, I kind of want to go to grad school for drag. Yeah. Yeah, and like, because UT has a program, it's a, performance as a public practice as a master's program, and I have my BFA already, so it's like, what if Cupcake was a fucking master? How ridiculous would
that? She gets her doctorate.
Can you imagine Dr. Cupcake? Like, what? It'd be ridiculous. The juxtaposition of it would be stupid.
Yeah, you're like that. MD.
Cupcake MD, bitch. Like, what? Why? Like, I think it'd be so cool.
Okay, let's see here. So share experience that you've had dealing with trolls, and how did you handle that negativity in the drag scene?
So there used to be, I mean, when I started getting my own shows, like Castro's and stuff, that like, that's when we were doing like, Castro's a long time ago. That's when we were doing really crazy like, sort of shows that were like just themed and like really bizarre. And we would have out of town people that would like be in the show maybe before.
Yeah.
And, I had a girl like put my wig in the fucking sink and turn the water on. And like, yeah, you're all
like another queen.
Yes.
What?
She's not like my luck. She's a messy ass queen. She's like. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what happens. You go before somebody.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're taking your breastplate. They're taking your wig.
Okay. What's the question? What was the shadiest troll thing?
Yeah. Well, how do you get past it? How do you handle the negativity? Do you go out there with that wig? You're like,
Yeah. I mean, how do I handle the negativity? Once again, it's like, I do not give power to people like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't concern myself. Like, if you are talking, like RuPaul says, what you have to say is none of my, about me is none of my business. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not going to concern myself with how you like think of me because I know like I'm like it. Your opinion doesn't matter.
Yeah, so I'm a bad bitch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm a bad bitch. It's just like if I worried about what everyone fucking thought about, it must be exhausting.
Yeah,
exhausting. Like I can't. I don't have that mental capacity.
Yeah, well, you do sleep a lot. No, I'm just kidding.
I sleep a lot. I don't
rest it.
I just like to live my life and like not like bog myself down with all that shit. Like it's maybe stupid and maybe a little bit like ignorant. But, like, I'm telling you right now, it's way nicer.
Yeah. Honestly, no, I think you definitely pushed yourself to the edge. Didn't you fly in from Vegas this morning?
I flew in from Vegas this morning. Yeah.
And how long did it take you to get into
like
this?
Like 3 hours.
It's beautiful.
Then I have work after this. But you got to work to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want everyone to know that I did, like, ask to do, like, a getting ready with me. And no.
Getting ready with a drag queen is boring.
It depends on the drag queen, I think.
We could talk.
You've got skills to learn. You should go back to college, actually.
That is, I do have skills. I do have skills to learn. I used to do that makeup show. Did you ever watch that?
No.
Okay, so I have a YouTube channel, and I used to do a show called Cupcake Can't Paint. And it would be me doing my makeup, and then, like, I would have, like, the comments would be like, hey, give me, like, 3 suggestions of what I could do. And the next time I do a video, I'll put those like in.
Okay.
So it was like a conversation. I did like 5 episodes. It was good.
Cause you're on TikTok live.
Cupcake campaign.
What do you want me to do?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I should. It's just like,
but doing it on someone else.
Right. Yeah. doing, it's so weird. Like no one can do cupcake face. Like I'm the only one who knows how to do this makeup or like can do it. And me putting it on someone else, it works, but it's like not the essence of it. Like this is me.
Don't you hate when you try to do your makeup and you're like, okay, I did my eyebrows and you know they're not right. And you ask somebody like, hey, how my eyebrows look? And they're like, they're good.
It's fine.
You know what? You're trash. Yeah. You're fucking trash. You're a shitty friend.
I that's why I stop asking people's opinions because I know they're either going to lie to me or just like, yeah. It's
and
like,
you fail.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it was a test and you failed. Exactly. Right. Like, oh, yeah. I know that like the way that I know that I'm a bad bitch or that I'm looking right is when I walk in the bar and no one talks to me. I swear to God, the first like 10 minutes, like no one talks to me. I'm like, I look like a bad it to people. Like, I know that's a weird thing, but if no one like immediately approaches me, I'm like, I don't know why.
I don't know. Well, to be fair, sometimes like your drag is like so done up that I don't even know who you are.
Really like, cool. No,
I,
it takes everyone a minute to like figure me out, which I love that. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Even the bar staff's like, I don't know. Like,
yeah. Who are you? I mean, I think they know now because they're just always some massive person just flies to the bar and like says the same thing every month.
Excuse me.
So yeah, so like they know that. Then, one of my outfits.
What was it at Tuesdays? They have like some really interesting radio names. It was like little cock or little rooster to big rooster. Have you heard that?
What?
Yeah, I went there for Halloween. I was like, hey, I do media here, and they're like, oh yeah, for sure. Let me call Big Rooster. Big Rooster.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah, they do have interesting names for everybody there. Yeah, Big Rooster is.
And this big guy came over.
Yeah.
He's like, do you know Maticus? He's like, oh, he's good. And I'm like, awesome. Cool. Because I could not wait around this
big rooster.
I had a line around the block to get in there.
Oh, yeah. On Halloween night, it was insane. It was so cool, like, to see that. I mean, that party's been going on for 10 years.
That's insane.
And it's still a line around the block on Tuesday. Yeah. On a Tuesday night. Yeah. Like,
I've loved what Glitterous and the new owners have done.
Oh, my God. They've really taken a space that was, like, a little queer to, like, make it, like, really, like, queer-owned, queer-operated, and, like, really serving like current like queer like inspirations. Awesome. Like John Eric and Matt are fucking amazing
people. And just like a shout out to them, like, I mean, they were the first club that like actually put any, I've worked with like other clubs, but they're the first one to like back me and all. They're like, we'd love to give you drink tickets, we'd love to see you here more.
They pay like a motherfucker. Their first thing is like, here's your money, here's again, because so many clubs are like such a hard to get the money from.
Fucking
Barbarella, Glitter, Sarah, they're paying well,
really?
And they're making sure we're set up, and they're just always, it's always, it's good, not that I need like fucking that much pampering, but like, I need a dressing room and I need some like a water and like a mirror. All that shit is there. And then you get paid on time, which is not that much to ask for. Apparently it is for most places, but not a Barbarella girl. That Barbarella there set me up.
But it's crazy because it's like a dive bar experience. It's like, I love what they
totally
with it, but it is a dive bar.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's like that. I always think about when I go to Barbarella, it's like this 80s, like smoky, like getting lost. Yeah. It feels like a dive bar for sure.
Yeah.
And it's a really big one, I guess.
And if you guys haven't been here, you have to visit.
Yeah. Listen, everyone is always like, when they visit, they're like, when do I get there? I'm like, on Tuesday night. And they're like, on Tuesday. I'm like, bitch, yes, on Tuesday night, you've got to go out.
Yeah.
That's the night where everyone goes out.
Just let them know that you know Cupcake and they'll charge you double.
Absolutely. Fuck yeah. I don't know who the fuck you are.
No, but for real, like, inside secret, if you want to pay half, like, you need to be going in and through the, what is that?
Go through Swan Dive. Yeah.
Swan Dive sign.
Yeah, there's two doors.
They come around the back because those clubs are connected.
I love that.
The secrets. I'm like, oh, you're new here?
Okay. Yeah.
And they're online over
there. Yeah, you're going to pay too much over there.
Okay. In the spirit of Say It Slay, what's the most scandalous gossip you've ever heard about a fellow drag queen?
I got you. So a very well-known drag queen in Austin, also maybe been on like some television show, she would like every day she came home from school, like in high school, she would have some free time, and so before her parents got home, she would look in the fridge and take whatever vegetables were like in there, and like she would fuck herself with them because she was like horny or whatever. And then every day for dinner, she'd have to watch her family eat those fucking...
Wait, this is real?
This is a real story, I swear to God.
Shut up.
And I heard that, and I was like, gagged. She had to watch her family eat her dildo fucking vegetables every night.
Hey, that's fresh.
It's fresh. Oh, my God, stop it. Fresh.
And then she went on to create HelloFresh.
Right? Oh, felt a crunch to it. Just... Mm.
No, I mean, like...
What was the first thing you put inside of yourself?
Honestly, so I was in AP science. That's a really good question. I was in AP science, and I was doing it at home, and they sent me the beakers, right?
Beakers?
Yeah, but it was plastic. So I was like, well, I'm going to play with this. I was trying to like put like soap bottles maybe up there before.
Yeah.
I got like in front of like the shower spot. And I was like,
Yeah.
And they're like, it must be gentle.
A lot,
like, nope. Yeah. But then I got that up there with some like conditioner.
Conditioner. So I remember
what was your first thing?
My first thing was a large Sharpie marker. Like one of those big Sharpie, like fat
maybe
Sharpie.
A Sharpie. Yeah.
Yeah, but
maybe a small one. I don't think I did a big one.
Hurts. Yeah, beaker. You know that putting the
a small little test tube. Sorry, like a test tube.
But an open thing like that, it's not good to put up. It creates suction. Oh, it would be closed.
It was the back end, and it was like a
whoa.
Yeah, well, it was like
the beaker in.
No. Sorry. Actually, let me like redescribe this. So it's a test tube, a little test tube. It's like the size of the marker.
I know exactly.
And it had a cap on it.
You turn upside down.
And it was plastic glass.
Little dildo shape. I know exactly what
you're talking about. Yes, and it worked out well.
Okay. That is like as a very small dildo, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually smart.
Yeah.
Science.
Thank you. AP.
AP science. I was in AP. I did not do AP physics. Fuck that. I did AP biology.
Yeah.
I wanted to be, when I was in college, I was either going to be a theater major or a microbiology major.
Ugh.
I know.
Yeah. I was like totally spoiled and went to private school and had a teacher that was from NASA and everything. I was like, oh, this is really awesome. And then like I had one of my other classes. What's the one they have to do dissections?
Oh, anatomy and physiology.
And they're like, oh, you have to dissect this cat. And I was like, I refuse.
I did not ever.
I was like, my mother's a witch and she would not allow this.
My mother is a witch.
Well, she was. I mean, you know. God rest her soul. But yeah, no, she was. She was a proud Wiccan.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Actually.
Yeah, so it's definitely against that kind of thing. So they're like, you just have to do it, blah, blah, blah. But now they have it, you can do it on the computer. You know, but I was
you can just like actually go in like 3D.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't have to do it, but they're like, okay, so they dissected it. And then they had like the teacher like came. She's like, just hold this heart in your hand. And I'll pass you. And I was like, how fucked up is that?
What?
Against like my beliefs. Or my family's beliefs or whatever.
Getting off on that, like, just hold the heart.
Just hold the heart.
What?
Yeah, just that's all I need from you. I'm like,
that's disgusting.
I'm saying so.
Yeah. Did you hold the heart?
I held the heart.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's okay.
You wanted the pushover.
Yeah. You wanted the great.
And now I'm a bad bitch. So like,
you know what? Sometimes it's easier just to take the fucking and just like roll with it. Like,
yeah.
You can fight that fight, but you're not gonna change a person's mind.
You're gonna get kicked out of AP.
Yeah. No. Just hold the heart. Hold the heart.
Okay, so Cupcake, we love your style. Like, you're a very eclectic, beautiful, gorgeous queen. Tell us about the most iconic fashion moment and the story behind it.
My most iconic fashion moment?
Yeah, baby.
Let's see. I think, okay, they're early in my Cupcake years, but okay, Cupcake, the very first outfit I ever wore as Cupcake was a dress made out of cocaine baggies for a Studio 54 party. I thought that was fucking hilarious. Yeah. And then I also did, do you remember when the whole Chick-fil-A thing was happening?
Yeah.
And so I did a brunch and I was the Chick-fil-A cow, but I had made the sign that said suck more dick instead of eat more chicken. And so I had the big sandwich board and then I had udders underneath it. I had Kalisa's milkshake and I had whiskey in the udders. I was like serving to people. Yeah.
So creative.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it's like my theater background makes me want to like push it more than just like, I want to like have some sort of spectacle to it. I want to have some like theatricality, sort of like fun.
I mean, like, do you like to make money? Like, or you just like to give it all back?
Oh, right. I mean, totally, for sure. There was a long, long time where like I was being told I had a show with this queen, Sable. Yeah.
Yeah, Sable City.
Yeah, Sable City. She was amazing. We worked together for a very long time and we are very, very, very different.
Yeah.
But we taught each other things. And one of the things she taught me is that, sometimes you need to do a number just for like entertainment purposes.
Right.
And that's totally fine. And also care about your money because when you look like you don't care about people tipping you, it's kind of disrespectful.
Yeah.
Which is true. Because I used to literally just like walk up, grab the money, throw it on the ground. And like just, I would want it, but that wouldn't be my main like concern.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because it's like sometimes it's built in and fine. I can grab some money, but sometimes it's kind of fucking with my performance.
Yep.
Which is also kind of ridiculous now if I think about it, like stop jacking off to myself. Like if people are trying to give me money, I should go take it.
I love that you love that though.
But yeah, I had to really work on connecting with audience, taking the money and to sort of be like, hey, like I appreciate this. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, slut.
Thank you. Slut. I pay your whore.
Pay your whore.
Ooh. Pay me. Pay me. Like my little brother the whole time. It was hot.
Oh, really?
It was hot.
Hot little brother?
Hot little brother.
A hot brother. Would you ever sleep with your brother? Do you have a brother?
Oh my God, I don't want. I would not. I would not sleep with my brother. I do have a half brother. I wouldn't even consider him a half brother. He's my real brother for sure. But we're just very, very different people. Like very different. And he's like stayed home, stayed in Temple, Texas. Like have a family.
Sorry.
He's just like a grown up.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, brother. You're not sexy. You're not sexy.
But enough. God. No, my brother's not sexy, but he's cool. He's cool. My brother's cool.
I just wanted the honest truth.
Yeah, no, Leo, yeah, sorry, for sure. And you know, when my brother found out about me doing drag.
He's a great personality, then I'm sure.
Great. You know, he's a hard worker. He's a hard worker. He wanted to make sure that I wasn't tricking guys. He was like, are you
like transbaiting? Like,
yes. That's what my entire family thought that's what it was. Like when they first found out I did drag, they were like, are you tricking guys to like fuck you? And I was like, no, like you need to look at my drag more.
Yeah, it's way
like,
easier.
My drag is not gonna get that kind of people. No,
that's a woman.
Yeah, right. Yeah, never.
They do take your breastplates though.
They do take my breastplates. I mean, honestly, whenever I'm wearing the weirdest things, that's what people want to fuck. It's so strange. People want weird shit.
It is really weird. Yeah, and it freaks me out a lot actually thinking about it. When you really slow down and think about it.
Oh, but I mean, people's like fetishes and stuff. They're very like, people are so. Like hidden about things, and it's ridiculous. It's like, it really, and like, because you like bottle it down, I think it becomes like a really like big, I have a problem or like thing in your life that when mm-hmm. you finally get to explode, it like really explodes. That can be kind of dangerous. Like, I kind of am like, my tap's always open, you know, so yeah. I'm releasing steam all the time.
Yeah. You're pretty big, so I don't think like you'd fit in a trunk, but like.
No, I would not fit in a trunk. I'm big.
Not going willingly.
No. Yeah, no one's going to kidnap me, bitch. I got so many weapons on me you don't even know about right now. Razor blades under
those nails, baby.
Nails, razor blades under here, fucking
nails, oh, hair.
Yeah,
that's the song.
Nails, hair, hips.
I don't know. He didn't pay me, so I can't sing the rest of
it. Girl, I've heard about all that. Yeah,
supposedly that was resolved. I don't know.
Doesn't he live here now?
Does he really?
I think he lives here. He's here a lot because I hear about people going hanging out with him and doing stuff with him.
Doing stuff with him.
Sure, in many ways, in every way you can think of. Yeah.
Okay.
Doing stuff. Okay.
That sounds nice. Okay. So as we continue. In the world of drag, do you think that there's a connection between flamboyancy and sexual confidence? And if so, like, how's it impacted your own life?
Flamboyancy and like, as a boy,
yeah,
like out of drag.
It's more vague. So the reason is like, yeah, like I guess like out of drag too. Do you think that it affects you out of drag in your
normal? Oh, I mean, my drag definitely affects my like out of drag life, which that's like the one.
Do you like forget?
Okay, yeah, I do.
I can just get the line. Like,
okay, no, that definitely is like, whenever you go, it's so weird being a drag queen. When you're a drag queen for a while, and then you go out not in drag, yeah. All your power is gone. And it's literally this weird thing. It's
that's
like,
crazy,
you become a nobody. And like,
yeah.
It's like, whoa. Luckily, I had been going out before I started doing drag a lot. So when I first started doing drag, it was like, okay, still going as a boy, going as a girl. But I don't go out as a boy that much anymore.
Right.
So when I do, yeah, people are like, who? And it's like, you're not as tall as you usually are. So you feel like super short. Like super, it's like, oh my God, I'm so short right now. And then like, nobody's like, and then you go up and say hello to people and they're like, who are you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I have to remind everyone who I am. Yeah, I'm Cupcake. And then that feels weird to say. So I try to honestly like kind of like, separate like my when I go out as a boy, I like to go out like out of town. I don't really I have to separate the two of my lives very much, like to make myself sane.
I know like a lot of like RuPaul girls, and I feel like they have similar things like in their hometown, you know, like they go out as a boy and like no one knows who they are. I've actually known them as well, and I'm like, you go out as a boy, nothing, and then they would come out and drag. It's like, oh,
it's crazy. It's insane the amount of power that drag gives you is insane.
Like, yeah.
You can say anything, you can do anything, you can walk in anywhere you want to. Anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's what establishment, you can walk in anywhere. We've given us drag queens a lot of power.
Literally. You can finally buy alcohol. So if you guys want to get in early, just do that.
Yeah,
buy the alcohol. I've never actually done any type of drag ever. People have always asked, like, I do own 3 pairs of high heels.
Okay.
Right? And I mean, really well in them.
Okay.
I've been learning since.
I can see that, yeah.
And I actually surprised my partner, and he's like, wow, like, do you actually wear those? I was like, bitch, you ready to see something?
Here we go.
But I actually heard myself at Coachella, so I can't really use them anymore. I wanted to do drag a lot, but I was just like afraid to shave the beard, you know?
The shaving is a big thing. I mean, there's lots of things like sort of that you have to overcome to be able to do drag and like look right.
Yeah.
You could like try, but like.
Yeah. I don't know if I can tuck either.
Tucking is so funny to me. I think everyone can tuck. It's not that hard. And you don't really have to tuck that much. Like,
I can get it inside of me. Like.
What do you mean inside
of me? All the way, or I'm going to fuck myself.
No,
that's not a tuck.
Oh, no,
that's
no,
not
no.
How you hold it in. Oh, you got to use duct tape. That's
No. You could just pop it in your dick, pop it in your asshole. That'd be amazing, actually. I think the thing is whenever you're tucking, like that, like the shaft of your dick is like so like flat and moldable. It doesn't really matter how long or big it is because you're just going to be pulling it back.
Yeah.
What the real issue it comes with is putting your balls inside yourself. Because your balls doesn't. There's like, it's super easy to do. Like everyone's like, oh, my balls can't go inside. They can. It goes like right up inside, and so then you tape the balls back, and so to make sure, because if they drop, then everything your shaft is like
nothing.
Fucking nothing, no dude. Problem. That you just like tape that.
Does that not hurt?
It hurts if you have hair. The pubic hair, like this, that's the only part that
because
hurts.
The tape, or?
The tape, yeah, okay, the tape hurts with like pulling the hair, but other than that, no, it's like it doesn't hurt at all.
Does it affect you like later on, like for ejaculation or like
not? I don't think. You do have to make sure you get the sticky tape residue off of your dick, which is like if you forget to do that, then you're like going to hook up, and you're like, oh my God, I have sticky tape, like like moldy dick. It's gross.
But you never feel like you've like lost any part of your sex drive because of it.
No, but I think I've lost sexual partners because of it. Absolutely.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, people find out...
Razor burn, baby.
Well, you know, it's like people find out you do drag and, like, their perception of you changes.
Yeah.
And so thus, like, maybe the, like, situation, sexual situation I was going into now, like, is not the same because they know I do drag, which is weird. It just, it's frustrating, but, like, whatever.
I mean, it's hard. Like, do you remember Club Hush?
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay, so Club Hush, the MC, I was here in Austin visiting, and I met the MC as a boy, right? So I'm like hanging out with him, and then like we like let's go on some dates or something, right? So I'm hanging out with him, like spend a couple nights with him, and on Thursday he's like getting it ready or something. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting into drag. I'm like, wait, you're a drag queen? I had no idea. That like, totally threw me off.
Does that bother you that he was a drag queen?
At the point, yes. But I was so new. I was so new. Like I obviously was like living in Killeen, like from the military side, and like I thought like initially when you come out gay, like you got to be a drag queen, you know, like everyone's going to be like, everybody wants to be that.
Right, that's
what I knew. But it's very different now. And I think like, I actually, like after that, I actually like really liked drag queens. And I thought like, they're really pushing the way. I really respect like trans people as well.
Yeah.
Like the what they're going through and battling.
I think that it's interesting to me that the, like, if I were to like date a plumber, you know, like every day, like when he comes home, like I don't expect him to be like, he's not always a plumber to me. And so like, I don't know why drag sort of it becomes this thing that encompasses your whole life. It does, which is, it's like, it sucks in this part of it. But like, I really wish that like I'm, there's a lot of reasons people do drag. You know, there are people who want to be performers. There are people who want to be pretty girls. There are people who are like, want to express their gender identity. There are people that just want to be on stage, you know? And so I think the fact that I want to do drag because I want to perform, and this is just like theater to me.
Right.
And so I take all this off. I'm not like, I express my femininity like at a high level a lot. So when I'm not like this, I'm not like, I'm a dude, like very much. I'm like,
yeah, you are.
Yeah. And like, I have to be, because that's like the swing of the pendulum. Like I go this far feminine, I'm going to go this far the other way. Just like, because the pendulum has to like,
but how do you remember?
Oh, God. I mean, how do you remember? I mean,
you walk past the mirror like, I'm still a boy.
It's two different brains, really. Yeah, when I go into cupcake mode, like, I'll meet somebody, and if I'm in, like, my boy mode, Brady, like, I have to, like, re-meet them. Because it's, like, I shift in my brain. Like, cupcake, it's so weird. Cupcake, I've created this character.
Yeah.
That, like, literally, now, like, is my therapy. Like, I when I'm out of drag, I'll hear, like, Cupcake's voice, and, like, I know more, like, care if I don't, and I stand up for myself more because of, like, this energy that I created through Cupcake. It's, this character I created is now, like, helping me. Like, it's so strange.
It's a little schizophrenic.
A little bit. It totally is schizophrenic. It's, like, a healthy schizophrenic. Weird.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
We got a good schizophrenic color out here. Okay, so say it's late, goes there. Tell us about a steamy behind-the-scenes encounter that you've never shared with fans before.
Oh, my God. Like sexually?
It's steamy, right?
Steamy, yeah.
I mean, I guess it could be like post-dance because you said you're sweaty, steamy. But like, I want it. Yeah, probably sexually, yeah.
Let's see.
Something entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, God. So there's...
I only do a missionary.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine I only do missionary? Missionary's fun, though. It is.
Yeah, if you want to look at them. If you want to look at your ugly brother.
If you want to...
I was kidding.
Bitch, I love that. If I want to look at my ugly brother, absolutely. Ooh. Clogged. Let's see. Steamy. One time I fucked this guy. Okay, so I don't fucking drag a lot, but sometimes when they're really hot, you're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And so this guy was like, hey, I was really drunk. He was really drunk. He was like, let's do this. And he was like, I live on a houseboat. And I was like, a houseboat? And he was like, yeah, let's go down to my houseboat. And I was like, let's go to your houseboat. Go to his houseboat. And all I remember is like, thinking I was gonna die. Like, I mean, because if you're getting on someone's houseboat and the dock of the marina, like, it's dark. Yeah. You're in drag. Like, I'm like, well,
smells gross.
This is the end. Yeah. But, you know, at least I'm gonna go down with a hot guy. So I'm there. And
hopefully.
Then hopefully, right. Well, thing too is like, when you're in drag and people wanna fuck, generally, they want you to be the top. Like, you're the fucker. So I remember I'm on the Adirondack chairs on his deck of his fucking hot tub, or his like houseboat. And I'm like fucking him in drag, in full drag, and like my hair is everywhere.
Melting,
dude, trying to keep my wig on. Like, that's the worst. Like, fucking drag, trying to hold your wig on is like the worst. And like, and you kiss someone and like, you, oh my God, you look yourself in the mirror and the lips are everywhere. I mean, it's, you look like a monster.
Like a Crayola.
Literally like a Crayola, like a kid, like, and then the guy comes and then it's like, the look in his eye changes. And
he regrets
it. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get out of here now.
Yeah.
So I left my fucking Versace necklace at that. I know I never got back. And ran from the boat dock, like had to run with my shoes, like away from this dude who was probably actually going to kill me after I fucked.
They have that murder face, right? They're like regretted. Like, literally. The only one that knows.
Yeah.
Like, I know. I get that.
Totally, dude. It's like so weird.
Yeah. I don't mess with DL guys.
Yeah. Because you see a change after they come. They're like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not cool.
I mean, I'll be open. I used to be like that after I would like come over the guy. I'm like,
disgusting. Yeah, like, know? For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of like, I remember when I was jacking off as a kid, I would come and be like, ugh.
What was I thinking?
This is gross. Yeah.
What am I going to do with this Sharpie?
Baby. I'm going to put it back in the fucking bowl and pick it up and write with it later.
Work with it later.
Yeah.
So we know you broke some bones for your art.
Okay. Right? Yeah, for sure.
Have you ever had a romantic injury or escapade that left you breathless in a different way?
Oh. So, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I am a very independent person. I think that, like, love is sort of, like, dangerous a little bit and, like, maybe not the best thing for most people. Like, I'm not... Codependency is a weakness to me. I see it as a weakness. But that doesn't mean that, like, sometimes... Like, lately, I've been noticing that, like, man, I can't...
Like, my podcast, when I logged into, you like...
I know.
I put codependency, a weakness, you'll keep going. Weakness.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's... Honestly, no, codependency is a weakness. You gotta be, like, cool with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be able to make yourself come. Like, stick two fingers inside yourself, make yourself fucking blow a load, and get on with your day. You don't need nobody else. You don't need... Like, not... That's important to me. Like, I don't need anybody else. Yes, it's nice to have a partner and, like, challenge each other, but I don't need nobody.
Yeah.
I got myself. So, but, lately, I've been, like, wanting to explore the idea of a relationship. And yeah, it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to like let myself feel emotions
without
like letting myself get too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I don't really know what they like.
Yeah.
Like,
back up just a little bit. There you go. She's in her feelings.
I am in my feelings. Yeah. A little
She's
bit.
She's in the red.
I was in the red. No, that's the thing. It's like, I just really have a hard time being either too emotional or completely emotionally detached, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think it's just cause I want to keep myself safe.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. It makes sense, I guess. But so tell us, how did you break yourself performing?
Oh my God. Okay. So this show is cursed. Like literally. So me and my friend Mascara Rivers, we wanted to do a Britney blackout party. It was like Britney's blackout album from front to back.
Okay.
And we tried to do it 1 year. The Glitterous, we were going to do it with Barbarella. And then I think the pandemic happened. We're like, okay. So then the next year, we're going to do it. And I know. The pandemic.
Signs are saying don't do it.
Signs are saying don't do it. I think actually a year before that, three years in a row it didn't happen. Then we were like, finally, oh my God, we're going to do it. We did. So we get everything together. I'm like deciding my performance. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do fucking, oh my God, what, Fall Off the Edge of My Mind, whatever, Heaven on Earth. And I'm going to have the scaffolding. Like, and I want to like fall off. I'm going to lean off of it, right?
Yeah.
Got the scaffolding, came to Swan Dive before the show, set it all up, tested it, did a whole rehearsal with it. Everything was fine. Little did I know that when we did the rehearsal test run, my friends were holding on to like, they were just standing there.
Oh, no.
They were just standing there, like kind of chewing the shit, but they were leaning on the fucking scaffolding. They were bracing it.
Yeah.
So during my performance, I'm like, oh man. And it is the video that erupted from it. Is just so, the lyrics are like, fall off the edge of my mind. And I'm like leaning back and it's so pretty. You can see it like wobbling and like, it's so great. And then I fall in this guttural scream. It's not me screaming. Someone from the crowd screams.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I busted. Like, I still have, like, a scar. Like, if it would have been, like, my eye would have been gone. Like, all I remember is falling. I remember every moment of it hitting my face. And it was the quietest I've ever heard, like, a bar before. I could hear my blood dripping on the ground.
Oh.
And I stood up and I was like, I'm okay. No one likes blood in a gay bar. And this like limped off stage and like a doctor, luckily a doctor was at the show and like we came backstage and I had to get whisked away. It was very dramatic.
Yeah.
Very dramatic. But you know what? I picked myself up and it has like millions of views online.
Planned.
Yeah.
Marketing event.
Bam.
When
viral.
Is cupcake found? Let it go.
Yeah. Just swallow a bitch. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I'm a high risk, high reward type of person.
Yeah.
And sometimes high risk means high risk.
Or high scaffolding.
Yeah.
But we literally talked about this. We're like, there's like no way she's going to get back into it after this. And then I see you at Rain, nonetheless, jumping on the bar, grabbing onto the lights. I was like, those lights are not built to hold your weight.
They're
flipping them in at you. I'm like, okay, girl, get it.
Yeah, I guess after that fall, I was sort of like, you know what? Like, I don't want to put the bar. The thing, I didn't want to put the bar at like risk and stuff because it does like the audience. Like, I don't want that's not cool. And so I don't want to risk myself as much as I did. But like, yeah, if I feel like sturdy enough, I'm going to get on top of some chandeliers and swing at them, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be a double feature episode. So it's long.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
you're doing really good. Though. It's so fun, though.
Yeah, I love it. Okay. That's the whole point about podcast, right? It's like the long form.
It's just being you.
It's just being
you
me. Know? Like,
but don't be you if it's not cute, okay?
Yeah, if you're not cute, just don't come.
Yeah, just or do come, but come after I come, okay?
Just don't talk, yeah.
Yeah, or don't talk. That's, have you ever, honestly, okay, we're going to sidebar for a second, because like when I moved to Austin, I was going through my divorce, and I was like working for Samsung and stuff, and I was like, I need to find some friends. So I was like, first of all, first mistake I made is I moved to the domain. So I was like, the residence of the domain. I was like, this is gonna be so cool, live in the mall.
Right, living in the mall. That's why I always think that people live there. I'm like, y'all live in the mall. That's
what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So then I downloaded Grindr. I was like, I'm gonna make some friends, right? And I'm like, dude, it was like everybody's like married to somebody or something. It was like Chess Central. But finally I found some guy like looked somewhat normal and muscular or whatever. That was like fix. I really like fit guys.
Yeah.
And so I invited him to my place, but I don't know if you know, but like the it's a maze to get to where you need to be. So
I don't know how you describe to like get to that place, find the door.
You could do the walk by. That's always the best, right? But this guy knew. He knew his way. So I was like, he must have been here before.
Oh, right. You know? He knows the way. Yeah.
So literally he makes it all the way to my door, literally like past call box, everything, front door, open the door. Oh, and he's like, hey, boy. How like, I was like, close the door in his face. I mean, I'm all about the mouth. Like, I don't look at your eyes. I don't look at anything. I'm looking at your mouth, your teeth, like the way you talk. I read lips.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, got a little hair impediment, but I. So that's why I was like, oh my god, this is not what I've designed for you in my head.
Right. No, it's sometimes
this isn't
it. So like, and that sucks and happens so much. But like, the person you designed in the head is like not who shows up at the door. And
it's
your fault and it's their fault because they obviously presented a false like narrative to you. But, you know.
But you were saying when you came over here, like, I have a partner, so I'm not on Grindr now, but Grindr has that feature of the voice.
The voice memos.
And that is game-changing.
It really does help.
Game-changing.
I mean, I know, like, when I send a voice memo, it's like my clutch. It's like, because I know that people are going to like my voice. If I hear someone's voice and they are just like, I'm like, nope. Yeah. It's like, no, dude. And it's not even, it's a lot of things that can turn me off about someone's voice. You know, and also, as stupid as this is, it's their intelligence level sort of comes off too, you know, a little bit.
In the voice,
yeah. Like, how, like, are they like an active, like a thoughtful person? Or are they just like, hey, what's up?
Hey,
how are you? And like breathing heavy, and you're like, okay, this is, you're just weird. Yeah.
I like that though. Like a little brim.
Breathe heavy for sure, but like breathe heavy and be like, I'm jacking off right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, maybe not that, but yeah.
I mean, that's cute too. Sure. I'm a really bad like sexual texter, you know, so.
Oh, you know, I don't sext, honestly. Sexting to me, I'm like, look, if we're like in the same town, why are we sexting? Like,
what are you doing? Come over, bitch.
Come over. Like, I don't know. Come over. Yeah, you come over.
Talk me through this. Like, you want to Skype me? Like, we're doing that again? Like,
no. I do not like that at all.
I can't. Yeah. Like, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking about you shutting the fuck up.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm thinking about not fucking responding.
Yeah, I can't come because you keep texting me. Like, I'm trying to watch the video.
Yeah, how are you typing and coming? Yes. Yeah.
Or share your thoughts on the unconventional fetishes and kinks within the LGBTQ+ world that interest you.
That interest me. So I think now we live in a world where there's lots of open fetishes and sort of like things that are very, so I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum. You can't. Yeah. So there's lots of things that I don't understand, but I ask people to like accept this, you know, like accept me that they don't understand all the time. So I have to do the same. I have to give the same sort of like respect. So, but the fetishes that I'm into right now, let's see. I mean, I've always loved like the like, I don't know, like.
I just love the way you said that. Fetishes of the 2023 cupcake is okay.
Right. What do I love in this season? This season, I'm loving. I mean, I love like some like coach player, like, and which is very generic for sure. But like, I love the power play of like an older and like a younger situation is hot. But like, I need it to be like in a, like a gym setting.
Oh yeah.
That's what I love that moment. Showers are hot. Just shower sex is hot to me.
Okay.
What
role are you
in the shower or in the coach player? I'm probably gonna be the player, although I could be coach sometimes
too. wide receiver.
I'm like a blouse, so it's a feminine top.
I thought you said you were a top
girl. I'm a totally top. I'm not even like a feminine top. I mean, if I fuck you like this, I am, but like in general, I sort of like to like not necessarily be the I'm the aggressor a little bit, sure.
Even if you get, I feel like if you get fucked by like Cupcake, you're still getting a dom talk. Like, no, I didn't.
It's just like by Cupcake. I mean, I just, there are people that during sex, so like, we'll start talking about Cupcake or something. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. She's not here right now.
She's not here right now. Yeah. To fuck her costs money.
Okay, so yeah, you have that kink in the shower. Anything else that's like out of, off the wall, like
off the wall?
Are you just like a normal person?
I, you know, it's crazy. I explore a lot of. I kind of like vanilla sex. I really do. Like,
I just want to be loved.
No, not even love. Like, affection. No, no. Honestly, a connection, yes, but I can disconnect just as fast.
Yeah.
Like, to me, like, I think that's what's like beautiful about sort of like a gay relationship is that like we don't have these things that we're gonna like a child to attach us forever, so thus we can like connect, cool, and then later, and like it's a gay handshake. Like, I know I'll fuck you before I even know your name, you know?
Yeah.
And then like as we're leaving, like, hey, by the way, my name is this, you know, that happens all the time
if you want to remember it.
Yeah. And so it's like I think that that's funny and like something to embrace rather than like shy away from. So I'm all about like the connection and then the disconnect.
How do you find out someone's name if you don't know it?
Introduce them to someone else.
What about like if it's in like a sexual situation, like they're at your place?
If they told it to me and I just forgot.
Yeah, you're like, what, like your number?
I go to their bathroom and look in their pill cabinet.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I've done that many times. Or like look on the fridge for like bills or something.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, yeah. You look for their prescriptions or their bills.
You're a real lady.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real super sleuth. A real asshole because I don't remember people's names.
You don't remember people's names. All right. What's your naughtiest drag performance to date?
Oh, okay. I mean, the eggs, probably. I would say the eggs.
Oh, I can never forget
the eggs,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for every Easter, I'm booked and blessed, baby, because I wanted to be, okay.
You need to be repenting.
The way this number came about was I wanted to be the Easter Bunny and I wanted to lay eggs. I didn't know how else to do it besides, and then there's like, you know, the whole like, the trope of like the people like shooting ping pong balls out of their pussy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to take that idea. I'm going to be a Easter Bunny. I'm going to lay eggs. And so I put three Easter eggs up my ass and that are plastic filled. They're plastic filled with corn kernels and shit them out on stage.
How did that not hurt? Like,
it does. Dude, when egg number three goes inside of me, play my song. Press play. Because it is time to go.
Oh, you put them in on stage and out
on
stage?
No, I put them in like, but like right two eggs and then like right before I put egg number three, it better get turned on because it's coming
out.
Okay,
so yeah. How's that fissure doing now?
Oh my God. It was bad for a while.
I bet.
But no, you know, I get it.
You know,
fine.
The things we do for holidays.
You know what?
Special occasion.
I'm always booked.
Yeah, this is why you're a top because you've been vandalized.
I know because listen, that's the thing. If I do bottom, it's like I do not like. I want a boyfriend dick. I want like thick 5-6 inches or 4 inches if I do. I don't want to have to remodel my house every time you come over.
All right. Now you mentioned the inches. We happen to have a tape measure here. Okay. So can you show me what 6 inches looks like from the backside here? Let me know when you think you got it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's 4.5.
Okay.
That's 4.5 for you guys that can't see. So, like, yeah, that's, you guys.
6 inches to me.
Yeah, that's four. Like,
listen.
Come on.
6 inches.
That's right there.
Even that is too wrecking to me.
Wrecking ball, girl. Yeah, nothing good.
Like, I will rearrange your guts, but I do not want my guts to be rearranged.
Yeah. How big are you?
I'm like 7.5, 8.
7.5, 8?
7.5, 8. Like,
that's funny. Solid, like, it's funny that you say 7.5, 8 because we know that you know exactly.
I have not measured my dick in so long.
Okay,
let's see. Let me look. I can like imagine. Hold on. I'll imagine.
Let's see a visual.
Think about this.
Just like look down.
Yeah.
That's how everyone does it. They're like the handhold, you know, like, it is what it is.
See, I think it's like 7.5.
Yeah. Well, you got some good opportunities here. For people that have slept with Cupcake,
three people out there that have not slept with me in the world.
Let us know if it's valid. I'm curious.
Oh, listen, I have a good dick.
So, Cupcake, for those listeners exploring their sexuality, what advice would you offer on embracing their desires and fantasies unapologetically?
Oh, I think that you've got to realize that, like, everyone has fetishes, everyone has sexual things, and whenever you, like, hide them, you, like, are going to make them darker and like they're going to come out in like not a healthy way, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that like feel secure in the fact that like there is always someone else who's like into the same thing as you and like you will find them and like you're not alone in your fetish. Like just explore And keep yourself safe. Like, you know, you've got to like keep yourself safe, but be cool with like exploring things because you never know like what's around the other corner. You know? Oh. Yeah, like you got to try stuff.
Like that sounds like don't settle.
Don't settle. And also don't be like, well, I guess this will never happen. It's like, no, just like it could. Just like put yourself in opportunities and positions where like you don't know what's going to happen because I that's exciting.
Never get married. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was kidding. I mean, I'm divorced, so I can't really say that. I'll never get married again. No, I'm kidding. I actually want to get married again.
Getting married, I'm sure it's like cool and like it's viable for a lot of people. I don't know if it's like the best thing. Like forever?
Yeah. Forever.
Forever is a lot.
Yeah, well, you're scared, you know.
I'm not scared.
It's hard to commit in Austin, isn't it?
It's hard to commit anywhere because this is the thing. I don't know. I know a lot of people. I don't know. I'm trying to, maybe I know one, but I don't know any happy relationships.
I'm happy.
Mm.
What do you mean? I'm actually in a really happy relationship. So like, don't cover me, but there's not many.
It's hard to find a happy relationship.
I'll give it
so
to you.
It's like, do I want to be like all these other miserable people? Like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
So like, it's like, I'm not seeking it out. I'm not going to force it to happen because when you force it and seek it out, obviously it does not go well.
But let's slow down a little bit because like in a happy relationship, a lot of things that your friends are going to hear might be the negativity. You're not going to hear a lot of the positive parts of it. And also like to have a healthy relationship, you have to have a little bit of like banter.
The drive. Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll drive away from each other. Like, why do you still love each other?
That's very true. And maybe you're right. Maybe I only hear about the bad stuff and I've never really thought about that. So I think, I just hear a lot about people and see a lot of people who jump into relationships because of their own weaknesses.
Sure. Yeah. The codependency. We're talking about that, right?
Like a lot of people are our age, our generation. They don't want
to. We're not the same age. Don't do that to me.
Listen, in our couple of generations, I feel like there's just this really, really big fear of being alone.
Yeah.
I love my alone time. Like when I'm alone, I'm very happy. But a lot of people cannot be alone, and so they latch onto a relationship, latch onto a person, which thus, like, brings them both in down, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
It's not cute.
Well, Peace Sue is our premium sponsor. We're going to show you some of their blankets that they're offering. So I have one behind us that's been here this whole time.
Yeah.
Check this out.
It is really soft, actually.
Made with some baby alpaca.
Baby alpacas that do not die, that get shamed for healthy reasons.
For healthy reasons, yeah. And it is beautiful, right? Isn't it stunning?
It really is soft, yeah.
So soft. And I'm really happy to have
it. I love the pattern, yeah.
This is a really cute one. And we got a couple, you know, different ones, but let's see.
A couple prints, yes. Kisu.
They're huge. Oh, I think your website, you wouldn't even know. Isn't this so pretty?
It is pretty. Oh, it's very like.
It's more wool, right?
It's warm, like, yeah.
Very warm and actually matches your outfit really well.
Oh, yeah.
Could you wear this on stage?
I'd be afraid because it's a flame retardant.
I think you'd probably catch on fire.
Right.
That's wearing that one. Let's see. This is supposed to be their most premium one.
The best little baby alpaca.
Yeah. I'm going to let you open it.
Oh, you'll see.
It's really, really pretty here. Oh. Okay, it comes in nice. Another bag. I love opening things in more a packages. Boxing, a box after a box.
A box
after
a box. Box. Oh, yeah. This feels really soft, actually. This feels like, this is not like one of those itchy blankets. It's soft.
Yeah.
And, like the color that royal.
Oh, wow. It's super soft. That's my first time touching it because I wanted to let you open it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Isn't it really pretty? So how much do you think this blanket cost? It's luxury.
It's luxury, so maybe like $250?
Oh my God, you're such a good guesser. It's actually the low price of $200.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I can totally
this one's only $200, and this is their premium one. Oh,
yeah.
And it's available on their store and Amazon. And then their other ones here, I think they range between like $100 to $200.
Are they machine washable?
You got questions for me that I don't know the answer to, but we'll let people know.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I'm sure there's got to be a way to wash it.
I'm sure that Kisu can tell you if you go online. Yeah,
Kisu will let you know online, probably on after their questions. Yep.
Mm-hmm. They have it in English, French, and...
Yeah. That's not French, but yeah. Anyways, beautiful throws. Thank you so much to our premium sponsor, Kisu. We appreciate you. And now we head to our closing remarks. Whirlwind of wonder and wildness it's been. Our time with Cupcake has been nothing short of a spectacular extravaganza. Thank you to our fierce and fearless queen for sharing your trials, trumpets, and tantalizing tales with us. You reminded us that to be fabulous is to be fearless and to face our fears and the ultimate slay.
I love it that you got that from that, because that is true. Yeah, that is true. Absolutely. Right. I love that.
So our dearest listeners, thank you for joining us on this roller coaster ride of revelations, from high heels to high drama, from slips to deduction. We've covered it all. Remember, in the world, say it, slay it. No topic is too taboo. No secret is too saucy. So keep your crowns polished, your heels high, and your spirits unbreakable. Until next time, keep slaying, stay scandalous, and always be unapologetically you.
I can't
say that word.
Unapologetically.
Unapologetically you. I'm a Baptist preacher girl, and this has been your host, Maticus, signing off. Spread the love, spread the laughter, and as always, slay your day.
And as always, spread those legs.
And and any closing remarks from you, Cupcake?
Yay. No, I had a great time. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for Maticus. Yay.
Thank you.
And yeah, this is a great thing. And keep supporting Austin local artists.
Absolutely. And if you want to see Cupcake on performance, you can see her at Tuesdays. Where else?
Tuesdays at 11 o'clock every Tuesday. And also Thursdays at 10 o'clock at Oracle Canaries for my show Cream that I host.
And Cream, are you not at Elysium anymore?
I'm Elysium once a month with Poo Poo Platter. We do a show called Poo Poo Platter. It's a drag troupe.
The worst name ever.
The worst name ever, but the best. It's a shit show of drag once a month at Elysium. Come check it out.
It's such a weird drag show. Yeah.
It's bizarre. Yeah. If you want to see bizarre, come check it out.
Yeah, if you want to see it, go check it out. But thank you so much, Cupcake, for coming to see us. Cool. And I hope you have a great night at work tonight.
I know. Going to work right now. Gonna go clock in, baby. Right, make some money. Bye. Nice.